I'm very excited today as we begin our long-awaited series that is really a compilation of writings done by last year's SALT graduates. SALT is a term we've written for Selma Advanced Leadership Training, and it is born out of a desire in my heart to see more people trained and ready to be leaders in the church and in the world. And so we begin that. If you will, if you have your book with you, that's great. If not, you can pick one up on the way out. Here are the seven topics that we're going to be looking at for the next few weeks, seven weeks in our series. One of those is today, discovering my purpose. And we're going to talk about what it means to have a purpose from God. What's His calling for our lives? Who are we to be and how are we to live in the world? We'll look also at hearing God's voice. That's the second week. Have you ever stopped just to listen for God? What He is saying to you and how He is speaking to you, what His desire for you is, how He views you, which leads to the next week, which is exploring my identity. We'll spend some time discovering who are we in Christ? Who are you individually? And how does God look at you and how does God see you? The one in the middle is leading in the church, and that's the whole thing this was born out of, a desire to see leaders raised up and grow in the church, and then sharing my faith, which is getting into the world and sharing who Christ is in your life with other people. We'll end up with a couple of them. It's giving to others and giving to God. And I believe if we take these all together, it's kind of boring in and seeing what God is up to in the world and what God is up to in our lives and getting a deeper sense of our calling and ministry. Now, in order to be able to do this, you really only need two resources. And that is you just need the book, the SALT book that's been written, and the Out of the SALT Shaker book, that is, and then the Bible. If you have those two things, you'll really be able to grow over the next couple of months. Now, if you don't have one of the Out of the SALT Shaker books, stop at guest services at the table on the way out and ask for one of those. And there are more being reprinted even as we speak. So if we're out, we'll take your name, we'll get one. We want everybody to have one through this series. And because of snow blasting us a few weeks ago, we didn't get all of them out until this last week. It's got a little bit of a delay is built in. So bear with us, stop, let them know you need one. We'll make sure that every single person has one of those. Have your Bible, and you will be able to take off and grow. So let's dig into this very first topic of discovering my purpose. Here's a disclaimer at the beginning. I will not tell you your purpose. That is not my job. That is the Holy Spirit's job to tell you your purpose in this world, what you are called to. And it is your job to do the hard work of figuring that out, of listening to God, of seeing what He wants for you. So I'm going to just give you a framework for that so that you have a way to go into that and see what God's called you to. Let's start with this. First of all, to say this, that living like the world is an empty mission. So many times in life, we think about what it means to live like the world. We actually reflect the world that we're in. Too many people tell me this, well, I don't live like the world. I'm my own person. I'm a self-made man. I'm an independent thinker. I don't do what everybody else in the world does. And to that I say, oh, yes, you do. We're very much reflecting. No one here is dressed like it's 1850. Not a single person in this room. We are very much 21st century people. We are wired. We are connected with the world. We dress like that. Nobody took the horse and buggy to get to church today. We are very much part of our culture. And the question becomes, how do we, in the midst of the culture in which we live, step outside of that and become who God has called us to be? Because if we simply reflect the world, we're in trouble. See, in this, there is always a mission. Everybody has a mission in life. And if you live like the world, then the mission is the world. And when the mission is the world, that's a dangerous place to live because in the world, we find all kinds of problems, turmoil, brokenness, and sin. And those break the heart of God. And if we become a reflection of the world and our mission is the world, then we are part of the breaking of God's heart. For example, turning your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. For this entire series, we're going to be going back and forth through the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we can see the clarity of what this is. As for you, chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That is, our own brokenness, our own self-centeredness, our own worldliness caused death in our lives. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, that is, in the world, worldly, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. The wrath of God is deserved upon us because we live like the rest of the world. And we live in the brokenness of the world, and because of that, we deserve everything that we get. When I was a little boy, my younger brother Dave and I used to pretend to be Superman. And just to let you know, that involved underwear and a towel. That's all that really was needed. And we would take that towel and tie it around our neck. You know, every little kid's probably done this kind of thing. And we would fly around the living room and rescue from my mom from perils that she didn't know she was in. And we thought that by doing that, we could be like these Superman people and we could do all kinds of good things to help out the world. The reality is that we can pretend to be somebody else. We can look at some kind of role model, some kind of iconic figure in the world, and say, if I become that, if I can just become that, then I will have made it in life. But can I tell you that Scripture says that if we set our sights on even otherworldly figures, anything in the world, that we will fall short of God's glory. We will never measure up to who God wants us to be. We can pretend, we can try, we can be somebody like somebody else, we can pretend we've come from the planet Krypton to save the earth. We can do all, the Bible says you can do good stuff all day long, and it doesn't put you in good relationship with God. Think of it like this. I've got a cat that lives in the backyard. If he suddenly starts barking, that doesn't turn him into a dog. Unfortunately, he's still a cat. And when we try to be somebody else, even try to do things that we think, well, if I do this, I'll be loved more. It never makes us measure up to God. So what do? Living like the world, the alternative is leaving the world behind. That's a step two, you might think, leaving the world behind. If we can leave the world behind, then we'll be in good shape with God. Then because we know the world is tainted, we know the cravings and the desires of the world are what is opposite of what God wants for us in our lives. So we know that if we can leave the world behind, then we'll be in a lot better shape. Isn't that true? We'll be people who are loved by God. It's sort of like taking the towel off, the Superman towel off, and seeing it, visualizing it wrapped around the body of Christ where he was crucified and laid in the tomb. And we know that Christ died for me, and if I can just do that, leave this entire world, then it'll all be good. The problem is, and I'm almost hesitant to say this, and you're probably going to respond a little bit to it because it doesn't seem quite right, and I'm going to say that leaving the world behind is an unproductive mission. Now, it is a mission because the mission is heaven, and that's a great mission. It's a wonderful thing to say, I get to go to heaven. God has saved me. Jesus Christ died at the cross for my sins. He rose from the dead to conquer death itself, and I get to go to heaven, and that's a powerful message. But when that's all there is in the message, it's unproductive. Many of you probably know that the song, it was written by actually a man from India. And let me get the lyrics just right. It's, I have decided to follow Jesus. And the second verse of that, you know that second verse? It says, the world behind me, what does it say? The cross before me. And the third verse of that says, though none go with me, still what? I will follow. You know the song. Though no, and I think, oh, that's not, that can't be right. Though none go with me, I'm gonna live my whole life here on earth, and my purpose is to go to heaven by myself. I'm only thinking about me. I'm not thinking about anybody else in the world. It's like me and Jesus, and that's all. I mean, us four, no more. Show me the door. That's all that matters. Come, get some Jesus on tap, and that's all I need, is to kind of pull the lever and get some more Holy Spirit in my life. Go to church, get some worship, lift me up. Hope the preacher has a good message. Read some Bible. It's going to make my life better. That's it. You might as well just take me to heaven right now. And you see, here's one thing I've never fully understood. I have to be honest with you. I've never understood people who've come to me and said, I just can't wait for Jesus to come back. I hope he comes back right now. Just take me out of this place. Take me straight to heaven. And now, don't get me wrong. I can't wait to be in heaven. Heaven's this glorious time, that living forever with God. Can you imagine the glory, how that's going to be? But I can't believe that God placed me on earth just so I can get out of here. That can't be the whole purpose of my life. It can't be your purpose in life. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be deeper than that. Interesting, I preached this same message at our earlier service. And a man who lives in Missouri was here visiting today. And he said that, he came up to me, he said that he met somebody 40 years ago who knew the man who wrote that song that I just quoted. And he said that when we translated it into English, we got it backwards. I hope this guy's telling me the true thing, because I'm preaching it like it's a real story. He just came up to me, he was a stranger. But I like what he said. He said in the original Indian language that it was written down not to say the world behind me, the cross before me, but it was written to say the cross behind me, the world before me. I like that. That makes it's like we've Americanized it, like everything. The cross behind me, the cross is a fact. The cross is a truth. The cross is part of my life. Christ died on the cross for the salvation of my soul. But now the whole world's before me. The whole world's in front of me. It reminds me of our founder of Methodism, John Wesley, in the 1700s. They said, what is your parish? A parish is the name for a church. What is your parish? And because he'd been kicked out of the church, because his views were so radical. And they said, you don't have a parish anymore. You don't have a congregation anymore. You don't have a church anymore. He said, the world is my parish. That's where I go. That's where I serve. That's who I am. That's who we are as Methodist people. That's who we are as Christian people. The cross behind me, the world before me. I like that one. Though all go with me, I still will follow. I like that one. God has called us to be salt of the earth, the light of the world. See, when we understand that we're called into the world, we're to make a difference. Now understand, this is still good news. It's unproductive, but it's still very good news. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read some more of it to you. It's really great news. It's in verse 4. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Remember what it said earlier? You were dead in your sins. Now God, through Christ, made us alive. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. We looked at this word last Sunday night in our confirmation class. And I said, what does the word grace mean? And last Sunday morning, Todd Austin preached and said, we don't know what something in the Bible means. Get out your phone and look it up on the dictionary. So all the confirmation students started whipping out their phones and stopped paying attention to me. And they were looking up grace. What does it mean? And they looked it up and somebody said, it means God's free, unmerited favor. And I said, well, what does unmerited mean? And they started looking it up and looking more stuff. And we finally figured out it means a free gift. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. All of my works, all of my Superman capes that I put on in the world, all the things I think I'm doing to earn me points with God in heaven don't measure up. It's only by God's free gift to me. Here, I give you Jesus, that I'm saved. So it's still super awesome news. It's by his love, by his grace, that we have been saved. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Do you hear that? We are already citizens of heaven. If you're a believer in Christ, you are now a citizen of heaven, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, his free unmerited gift to us, his favor to us, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace, his free unmerited favor, you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So take your Superman cape and put it away. Take your good deeds and set it aside. Take your trying to be like somebody else, thinking that you're going to earn God's favor by it. It never works. It is only by the cross of Christ, the cross behind me, the world before me. They'll all go with me, so I will follow, because I believe this, that loving the world like Christ, that is our purposeful mission. See, we can say that living just like the world is one way we can do it, or leaving the world behind is one way we can do it, but I say it's a lot more than that. If you can love the world like Christ, that's a purposeful mission. Now watch. What's the mission? It's the world. The same exact mission it was in living like the world. In living like the world, we're just wanting to be like the world. In loving the world, we want to change the world. We want to change people's lives. I had a group of people, they were actually some pastors and some other leaders, who got flaming mad at me recently because I was giving a message at a particular event, and I just basically said, our purpose is to convert people to Christ, even if they're from no faith or even from another faith. That's what we're called to be. And they were so mad at me, so upset about it. And I'm going to unashamedly say to you that our purpose is to win people to Christ. We are to be in the world. When Christ calls us to be the salt of the earth, it was the highest compliment. Salt was super valuable in that day. You didn't just go to the grocery store and pay a buck or two and get some cheap salt. And it was super valuable and super necessary. No refrigeration. I mean, you had to have it in order to survive. It was extremely valuable. And he looked and he said, you are that. That highly valuable thing that's necessary in the world to preserve it and give flavor into the world. And that's who you are and who you are called to be. The world is the mission. And just think about the Bible, how it's measured up time and time again. I mean, take a look at it. In Matthew 28, verse 19, at the end of Jesus' ministry, right before he ascends into heaven, he said, go and make disciples of, what's it say? All nations. Not just the Jewish nation, not just the nation of Israel, but of all nations. Make a difference there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit and teaching them, he said, to observe everything that I've commanded you. And Jesus said, I'm with you till the end of the age. And all the world. He said it in a different way, and it was recorded down by Mark at the end of the Gospel of Mark. It says this, go into, what's it say? All the world and preach the gospel to all creation. See, the cross behind me, the world before me. In the beginning of Acts, Jesus appears and says this, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's all the world before me. And the mission of the United Methodist Church is very clear, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of what? The world. For too long, I believe we as maybe Western Christians have focused on ourselves. And it's sort of been like, as long as I'm right with God, and I'm learning from God, and I know how to worship God, then all is well. But here, we understand we're taking that towel, the cape off, and now we're tying it around our waist like a servant's towel. Because we are called to go into the world to bind up the wounds of those who are hurting. You may need to use that towel to wash the feet of somebody, or to wipe the sweat off of someone's brow, or to wrap it around somebody who is cold. Christ is called to take it, not to be somebody from a false planet, a false world, a make-believe icon even from this world, but to be like Him, to be like Christ in the world, to change that world for Him. See, it goes on in Ephesians chapter 2, and we learn more and more about this. Do you see what I'm saying? Ephesians chapter 2. It's the last verse. And it's a startling verse, really. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. What's the phrase say? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's a curious phrase to be in the Bible. Because the verse right before that said, your salvation has nothing to do with your good works. And now the very next verse says, that's your purpose, is to do good works. You get it? Your works don't save you. A barking cat is not a dog. A boy with an underwear and a towel is not Superman. You can't do just things and become something else. It is God who does the transformational work in your life. And once He has done it, once He has done that, He now says to you, I want you to change this world. I want you to take your towel and go into the world and love people and minister to people and nurture people and help them along. Think of it like this, okay? Think of it this way. Let's assume Jesus was born into the world and He grew up. He was baptized. We know that was true. He was tempted by Satan in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and resisted that. We know that's true. He went to the temple to worship. We know that's true. And let's say that's it. It stopped. Jesus spent all of His life on earth. What if He had spent all of His life on earth praying, worshiping, reading about God, knowing God, and that was it? What if Jesus came to earth and He didn't heal anybody? What if He had come to earth and He didn't give the Sermon on the Mount? What if Jesus had come to earth and He didn't meet that woman at the well who had all that brokenness from all those broken relationships and ministered to her? What if Jesus didn't meet the woman caught in adultery and forgive her for her sins? She would have been put to death. And then tell her to go and stop sinning. If she'd escaped the death, she would have returned to her old lifestyle. What if Jesus had only come to earth just to spend time with the Father? We would have said, not much of a Savior. No thanks. But do you realize that Christ has given us the mission to be like Him? Not just in worship and prayer and knowledge. We're to grow in that. But in changing the world, in ministering to the hurting, and loving people into the kingdom of God. The cross behind me, the world before me, though everybody I can tell go with me, still I will follow. And I'm going to tell people, I'm going to bring people with me. I'm going to bring family members and neighbors and co-workers and classmates into the kingdom of God with me. And I will do whatever it takes to do that. So how do you then discover your purpose, your calling? You know, for some people, your calling in life is wrapped up in your career, like me. But for the vast majority of people, it's not. So how do you discern your call? Now, this is not, I didn't get this out of a book, and don't write it down and turn it into a book. These are just some thoughts, some steps I've discovered over the years of a way that you can kind of figure out what your purpose is, and this is your job to figure it out. Okay, let's write these down. One of them is decide that you want to make a difference in the world for Christ. It begins inside of you first. Do you want to make a difference? Are you content with just sitting and soaking and receiving God and loving Him back, and that's good enough? Or are you ready to be somebody who's a world changer, a transforming person in the world, a force in the world who makes a difference for other people? And if you make that decision, it's a decision of the head and the heart, then you've got yourself ready to go to the next step. The second one is this: discover what God is doing in the world and then jump in. Just take a look around you. See what God is doing in missions. See what God is doing in communities. See what God is doing to transform neighborhoods. See what God is doing in churches. See what God is doing in individual lives. See what God is doing in families. And if one of those kind of grabs you a little bit, then jump in on that. Let me give you an example. In 1986, Lisa and I went to our very first church in North Judson, Indiana. North Judson, a very small town, and we were there and I had a traditional worship service. And I began to look around me and observe what God was doing in the U.S. And looking around, I began to see that the majority of churches who were experiencing growth and reaching new people and reaching non-believers and drawing them into the faith, the majority of the churches who were doing that were doing a thing called contemporary worship, which we do here on Sunday mornings. Now, that wasn't very common back in the mid-1980s. But I began to look around and see that. Now, don't get me wrong. I still love traditional worship. I really miss the hymns. I still love all of that. But I looked around and we could see that God was doing this in the world. It's a new thing that God was doing. Began in the 70s, so by the mid-80s it was relatively new. And God was doing that and churches were reaching people who had no interest in Christ. And they were coming to faith. And so we just jumped in. Like, let's try this. Let's see what God is up to and be part of that. So you might find an area in life where you see God doing something in other people's lives and you say, let me see what this is all about. You don't have to reinvent the wheel is what I'm saying. The third part of that is to discern your calling through scripture, prayer, worship, spiritual discussions, listening to the Holy Spirit. You can add to the list other ways that you can see what God is saying to you specifically. Now, notice how this is moving ever outward. It begins with an internal decision, and then you're going to see what God is doing in the world, and then you're going to say, God, from way out there, would you tell me what you want me to do, who you want me to be in life? And use a variety of these things. You read through Scripture, and as you're reading through them, see what you keep stopping on, what verses keep popping into your mind, what words and phrases keep saying, this is for me. I've got to do something about this. Your time of prayer, your worship time, Sunday mornings, just spend time communicating with God and your own private worship, do the same thing. And have spiritual discussions. Talk to people that you respect, and the people you admire, people in the faith. And as you have ideas, you think, I think God is calling me to do this. Check that down with a variety of people and make sure that's what God is calling you to do and who God is calling you to be. And find a variety of ways, and then listen to the Holy Spirit. Take out a blank piece of paper and an ink pen and just sit down and say, Holy Spirit, I'm here today. Would you tell me who I am? Tell me how you see me. And just spend day after day and month after month allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to you how he sees you and who he sees you being. And the last step is this, to develop your calling through hard work, experience, taking risk, all kinds of stuff like that. See, if you can, it's actually putting it into action. You test it out. You see, there are some things through the years that I've thought were something that God was calling me to do, and I got to step three, and I talked to other people, and it's like, I don't think this is the right thing, and so I stopped, backed out of that. There were others that I got to step four and tested the waters on it, and like, I don't think it's really working out for me. I don't think this is what God really wanted me to do. So you just, all along the way, you're sensing, you're growing into that, and you're developing your own purpose. The bottom line is, you are the only one who's responsible for your calling and your ministry, your purpose, why you're here on earth. You discern that from God and allow God to speak that into your life, and then you live it out as you live in the community of faith and live in the world to bring others into the faith. Because the cross is a fact in your life. I make the assumption today that you're already a believer. If you're not, maybe this is the day that you need to do that. Maybe this is the day that you need to say, you know, I need to embrace that first. Take off my Superman cape. You know, the super mom, the soccer mom, the fantastic dad, the great guy, the big shot. Take off that thing and realize you got to wrap it around Christ and his broken, bleeding body for you and come to faith in him. But maybe this is the day that you've done that and you say, now the cross now is behind me. It's a fact. And that world's in front of me. And there's something God has called me to do. And I know beyond knowing that I've got to do it. Let's take a moment right now and trust God for that. Today, our Heavenly Father, we lay ourselves before you. And we realize that it's a huge task you've called us to. This thing called changing the world. but it's what you want us to do. Yeah, there are something like 6 billion people in the world, and I'm not going to change all of them. But I can change some. So may it never be said of any of us, though none go with me, still I will follow. We're about changing people's lives. Today, Father, we bless your name, holiness of your name. And I picture you handing us a towel, and we have some choices what to do with it. And maybe today is the day we wrap that around our waist as people who are already forgiven and loved and redeemed by you. And we go into the world to provide healing with that towel. Love, encouragement, friendship. We are called to serve. Holy Spirit, would you speak? We're just going to stop for a few moments right now and listen to your voice. And in particular, we're going to listen for you to tell us how you see us and what you have called us to do. We listen to your voice now. May you be blessed. And may we be a blessing to others as you work through us. We pray all of these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.